And not only do the disabled veterans suffer, but the people of the state suffer. And one example is when they're calling for CAL FIRE equipment and they end up with private equipment, there's CAL FIRE equipment that's not being used. So what the governor did this past year is he eliminated 5 state dozers. So that's 5 dozers that we will never see again, you know, given the budgetary issues in this state. That's less fire protection for the state, and it's because of their system that doesn't work. And in 20 years, they haven't been able to make it work. So it looks like a legislative fix would be the only issue that I see, or the only way to resolve it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Once again, Alan Lamar, I'll be brief. I'd like to just mention that we have a California State DVBE advocate. That person is now attached to the Department of Veterans Affairs. It's an employee of Veterans Affairs. The spirit and the intent of the law was to have an independent third-party person be that DVBE advocate who could not be influenced by his job and the loss of his job if that person had to delve into areas or complaints which might not suit a certain entity. And I'd like to see if we have to enact legislation to do that, to really get the intent and the spirit of the law to make sure that we have a individual that's not biased by his job or his position.
More of an ombudsman than anything. More of an ombudsman.
Yes, that could actually look into things and be able to go to an agency and say, hey, listen, we have a DVBE problem in your agency, and we'd like to discuss it so that we can either fix it or at least have some dialogue. Because right now there's no dialogue between the agencies and the DVBE advocate. Each agency has a DVBE advocate within their own agency. But the original law that we sponsored and passed was to make that person an independent body, and I'd like to see that happen, if it's possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments, Mr. Commissioner?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members, and I'll be brief. There were a few areas that I didn't cover in my remarks that I think, I don't know if it's a legislative solution, but I think it's areas that we could focus on, or if there is a legislative solution. Let me just point out that my dad is actually a disabled Navy veteran. He served in the cleanup efforts at the tragic explosion of Port Chicago, and I was injured in that process. So. This is near and dear to my heart. He's still with me. He's 84 years old and was an entrepreneur during his active period. So, but one area is clearly energy efficiency. What I love about energy efficiency, one, it's the number one loading order in our energy action plan, that being with the California Public Utilities Commission, the California Energy Commission. I think it's bipartisan. When you talk about energy efficiency, we don't get into discussions about climate science. It's dealing with our area of conservation. And as former President Clinton said in his Clinton Global Initiative, it will be the job driver because it focuses on many of the trades where we as an economy clearly need a jump start. Now, I'm the assigned commissioner on the Energy Savings Assistance Program, which has had about a $1.2 billion budget. And my fellow commissioner, Commissioner Farron, is the assigned commissioner on the, and my decision has not been voted yet. Hopefully it will be voted out on August 23rd. But a decision that we did vote on is Commissioner Farron's energy efficiency proceeding, which is about $7.7 billion approximately. And I think these are areas that are very ripe to absorb those women and men who are looking in the trades. And then when we expand into the demand response areas and some of the technologies involving smart grid and critical infrastructure, it even goes further into those that are possibly coming out of the engineering schools or various technical schools. And in each decision, my office worked with Commissioner Farron's office, and also in a decision that I hope, again, will be voted on August 23rd. We have General Order 156 language inserted in the decisions, but as I've stated before, the veterans come under General Order 156, but I'd be the first to say that a more highlighted approach, I think, would be beneficial. The other area that you have advanced over five bills on, and that is pipeline infrastructure and pipeline safety. If we look at the combined proposed applications from the two primary gas utilities in this state, that being PG&E and SoCalGas, we're talking $17 billion requested over the next 10 years for the purposes of either pipeline replacement and or testing or enhancement and also smarting of that system. This is another area where I think we can make a real dent in this problem, but maybe more so than energy efficiency, I think it is going to require a coordinated effort with the labor unions. Most of the investor-owned utilities I think, their primary contracting through the entities that work with the unions, and I think we can work with the various unions to ensure that we are capturing those or embracing those women and men that are returning from service, or even those that have been here from prior wars are still having difficulty matriculating into the workforce. There are two programs that I believe are making a difference, and I think these programs can also refocus, and I'm prepared to work with each of them. One is Power Pathways. This is a program with PG&E that was designed to deal with the reality of what we call the silver tsunami. 45% of the utility workforce in the state of California is retirement ready. So you ask the question if we have, and I understand in state government it's closer to 55%. So you ask yourself the question, if we have this retirement ready workforce, why aren't we doing more to put to backstop this these retirements that will eventually arrive? I think our Great Recession probably slowed some of it, but at some point these very skilled men and women, very well paid men and women, by the way, utilities, the energy utility areas is one of the few areas of the private sector where you still have defined benefit pensions and other benefits that you don't see in other parts of the private sector. So the question becomes, why aren't we doing more from a workforce standpoint in terms of securing those jobs as well as procurement as well? And I do think the Power Pathways is a model that could be duplicated in other areas. Another one is the LA Trade Tech. And they work closely with Southern California Edison and the gas company in producing, again, future utility-ready workforces. There are programs. Richard Heath and Associates operates a training facility in the Central Valley. Teleco and Southern California, I think, is doing an amazing job in the energy efficiency area as well. So I just wanted to cite some of these spots where we have best practices, and I feel that if we can become less siloed and more collaborative, we can aggregate this and make a better dent going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee members.
Seems like I'm getting frequent flyer miles here today.
It's okay. I'm not going to charge you for trips.
One thing on the school issue. One of the barriers, and Caltrans mentioned this, that one of the barriers to construction is the bonding issue for small business and micro business. And if there is legislation, perhaps there could be some consideration given to either bond pool or bonding waivers for smaller micro businesses.
What about working with the insurance industry to figure out a...
That's a very good idea. Because guaranteed part of a government contract. The bonding companies are guaranteed in construction that they're going to get part of a government contract. Nobody else is. So it would make sense.
Bonding contract or a new product from the industry. Let's see what we can work on.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more comments from the group here? walking away with a lot of information here, a lot of the list of to-dos just kind of quadrupled here in the last few minutes. But I think this is a good hearing, and again, I want to thank all of you for coming today, and look forward to working with you again over the next 90 days or so. Again, the third time I repeat, I do hope to have a legislative package ready to go by hopefully January to address a number of these issues that were brought up today. And please, if you have any thoughts or comments that you want to share with me privately, I am available at any time. Thank you very much, and this informational hearing is now adjourned. Thank you.